All right, I want to welcome everybody to the podcast. We're here today, Tuesday noon Bible study here at Cross Culture Church. And as we move forward in our Bible study, we are in the book of Acts. We just finished up chapter 16, and we're moving on into 17. 16 was very exciting as Paul had the usual time of bringing the word of God, and as he brought the word of God and it moved forth with boldness, people got angry, and because the word of God will dispel darkness and bring forth light, and all of those who are carrying forth deeds that were just selfish and that enhanced them financially and supplied a status in the community, Paul's words were grievous to them, and they tried to imprison them, but yet they escaped, and through the escape, a lot of more people got saved, and the jailer got saved, and of course then his house got saved, and after his house got saved, they got baptized. And so here, when you look at how things can look bad, God can bring something good out of them. Amen. So you can look at they were jailed, but yet the Lord got them out and then saved the jailer and his family. And then, of course, from that, when one person gets saved and the word gets out, it just blossoms. Amen. All right. And so that's what we have. So now we're moving on into 17. And Paul is now moving to another area. They've outgrown their welcome, and I'm just using that as a term. They didn't wear out their welcome, but what happened was they wore out their time of stay, and so they were encouraged to move on because it was going to be an all-out war later. So of course, and it was good that they moved on, because now they're going to a whole other area, taking the gospel where it needs to be taken. Amen.
Amen.
So now let's move right on into it. 17:1. Now when they had passed through, these words always get me. Amphipolis.
Amphipolis.
Okay, y'all can read that.
Amphipolis.
And Apollonia. They came into Thessalonica. I got that one. where was a synagogue of the Jews? And how many of you all know that Paul loves this, because he loved to get around them Jews. And he did, because he was a Jew of the Jews. He could go all the way back and trace his roots, and he had studied under Gamaliel, and he had something to brag about. So when he read the Torah, and he got down into the scriptures, he could really relate to them. So now we got to the synagogue of Jews in verse 2. And Paul, as his manner was, he went right in unto them. And three Sabbath days there reasoned with them out of the scriptures. I want to just add something here. I don't know if any of you all have taken the time to deal with the word reason. That word reason there means to have a lively discussion. So what you have here is a lively discussion that Paul is having with them about a way they think. And so I want you to not be afraid to have lively discussions. And if you are ministering to somebody and they have some questions, answer them. The scripture said you need to have an answer for every man. If you believe what you believe and you understand what you believe, and somebody asks you a question, you should be able to talk it out. You should be able to reason with them. There's always two sides to the coin.
He's all right.
Oh, yeah.
He's all right.
Oh,
I don't think he's
yeah.
all right.
No.
Yeah.
He wasn't
all right.
I didn't like
all right.
the way he was.
We need to call 911.
We need 911.
Call 911. Uh-huh. Yeah. He seemed like he's having a stroke.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Let's pray over him.
Please. Father, we just thank you right now that you will take care of him in this time.
In Jesus' name.
We thank you for what right now. In the name of Jesus. All right, we're in verse 2. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days, reason with them out of the scriptures. And I had to say it, that word reasoning means he had a lively discussion with them showing them his side and they revealing their side. Verse 3, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Is this not the foundation of our Christianity?
Right.
That he had to die, mm-hmm, and take the sins of all, be buried to serve the sinners, and then raised again for our justification. All right? And this was the Christ. Verse 4, and some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and the chief women not a few. So what do we have here? The word of God has gone forth. People have believed. And not only the men, but also the women believe. Okay? All right? I want to just interject this in here. Our job as Christians is to spread the word of God as much as possible. We have no idea who's going to receive it, but we know that somebody's not. But our job is to at least put it out there so that those that have a chance will have a chance. Okay? So now just think. The people's hearts were ready to receive. And when Paul and Silas went down there, then the people that had a desire to receive had that desire met. Okay? In our lifetime, we have no idea who we're going to run into. Amen. We have no idea who's going to receive what we have to say. But as time goes on and we have an opportunity, that's what we're supposed to do, share the good news of the gospel. Question.
I wanted to get the verse 2. When Paul stayed there for 3 Sabbaths and visited with them, I see the need for us as Christians, the need for thinking. We need to think constantly. Bible study, you need to think even in during a sermon. You need to think and reason what you're hearing about. I remember Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18, which says, come now, says the Lord, and let us reason together. Mm-hmm. You need that. The Lord is commanding us to reason whenever we're discussing about the scripture. So it's a need for us to think and reason whenever we're discussing about the Lord.
Right, which is another way of putting exactly what I said. God has an invitation out there to come. That Isaiah 1:18, that's my favorite one. That's what I base a lot of my ministry on, which is an invitation from God to say, come, let's have a lively discussion. Let me share with you my feelings. Let me share with you truth. And so that's what we have to have. We have to be receptive when we get the invitation to reason and get what's being imparted. And so that's what's going on here. He says, when he reasoned with them, how did he reason with them? You see what we have in verse 3? It doesn't leave it to question about how he reasoned with them. He opened up the scriptures to them, and then he alleged and showed the correlation between how Christ fulfilled what they were looking for in what they were already reading. They had a hope for a Savior. All
right,
they were looking for a Savior, but they were looking for a king. They weren't necessarily looking for a Savior. So here Paul is reasoning with them and saying what we needed was a Savior. And this Savior had to die for us. And not only die for us, he had to be raised from the dead. This is the Christ that we're looking for. And so when we are going to people and they say, I'm looking for God. No, you're looking for a Savior. Because God has provided a way for you now to be saved. You see what I mean? So this is when you look at 2, you have to, number one, know in yourself what you have believed. And when you go into 3, you have to know how to apply what you believe. You see what I mean? Paul knew how to apply it because he knew both ways. He knew how he had been taught before. Then he knew the revelation that Christ had brought to him, which turned upside down what he had been thinking, right? Yeah. So he's going in saying, listen, I know how y'all thinking because I used to think the same way. But I got a testimony. And what's the testimony? The testimony is I met Christ, right?
Right.
He met him. He met him on the road, right? Mm-hmm. And so now since he met him and he turned his thinking around, that's what he's saying now. I'm going to help you all understand that your thinking needs to be turned around, all
right?
Okay, and 4, and some of them believe, not only some, but quite a few, right? It said, and of devout Greeks, a great multitude, and the chief women, not a few. All right? 5, but the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, and took unto them certain lewd fellows of a baser sort. Can anybody tell me what that is?
Bob.
He went out and got some street folk.
Just the KKK.
Some street folk who love to stir up mess.
Okay.
Thieves, robbers, folks who in the midst of trouble, they get gain from it. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Look, when it says of a baser sort, mm-hmm. that means criminal mind. All right, and gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does this look familiar?
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere they go, there's a group that reject what they're saying. And what do?
They start trouble.
They stir up a group against them. Mm-hmm. And then they want to what? Take them to the leaders. So here they are. These folks always starting trouble.
Mm-hmm.
They trying to get us out of our little thing. We got our thing going, and here they trying to disrupt it. Right?
Right.
Verse 6. And when they found them not, they wasn't at Jason's. They threw Jason and certain brethren, took them unto the leaders of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come here too."
Wow.
I like that.
That's a testimony.
That is a testimony. They say everywhere they go, they turn things upside down. Right?
Right.
They always turn stuff upside down.
Right.
All right? Mm-hmm. Verse 7, whom Jason had received, and these did all contrary to what? The decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus.
Wow.
Right?
Right.
Now, do you see what's going on right here? They're saying, we have license to do what we do. Here, y'all coming in telling us something different, pulling the people away from what we got set up.
Mm-hmm.
We had already worked this thing out with Caesar. See, we got our synagogue. We got what we can do here. Now, these guys coming here turning everything upside down. Now, y'all bringing Greeks in. Right?
Right.
Now y'all got the women stirred up. All of this is shaking their little world.
Mm.
It's shaking their little world. So now they got these false accusations going and saying now they trying to make him the king and Caesar not the king.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Twisting the truth.
Yeah, no.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 8, and they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. So it's just like you got today. Whose report are you going to believe?
Right.
Right?
Right.
Whose report are you going to believe? You going to believe the report of the Lord, or you going to believe the report of the world?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And they knew they would get the officials on their side when they said they're making Jesus king.
Right.
You know.
Right. All right. Verse 9. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the others, they let him go. Why did they let him go? Because they really didn't have anything. They didn't have anything. And not only that, they had a whole lot of people now that have received the word who were standing up going, they didn't do anything. You know, why y'all making up, trumping this stuff up? All right. Verse 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who cometh hither, went into the synagogue of the Jews. So what we have going on again? He going straight way back again, doing this, the exact same thing. What does this say to us?
Yeah, we need to have that boldness.
Yes. Right. And if it's working, don't stop working it.
Don't be scared.
Don't be scared. Just, if it's working, let
That's
it work.
Right. That's
And I know for a lot of people, they get excited about the things of God and everything will go good, and then they'll say, well, I did that, and then they'll quit. Mm-hmm. You know, I prayed my way through this situation, I'm good now. No, you got to get another situation to pray for. You got to get another goal. We have to keep going. Victory upon victory. The scripture said line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. We got to keep marching on. Then Paul said we got to press toward the prize for the high calling. We can't stop. We got to keep going. There's more people to reason with. There's more people to have lively discussions with. Amen?
Amen.
So they go in to the synagogue of the Jews. And look what happened in verse 11. These were more noble than those that were in Thessalonica. You got another group, except they even got more money. They even got a higher status. In that they received the word with what? All readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So now you got one group he went into. They were just on a lower rung, because they went right to the base folks and stirred up some stuff. He go into the next group. This is a little smarter group. They got money. They've been studying. And so they saying, well, we want to read to see if what you're saying is good. Now, doesn't the reasoning work a little better when you got somebody that know a little more, that's got a bigger vocabulary, right? Yeah. That can understand what words really mean. And not easily tricked, because they said, no, I don't think that's what that really means. But see, Paul knew how to put it to them in a way that they could get it, right?
Right.
Because Paul said, hey, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Yeah, I know how to put it. All right. And verse 12, therefore many of them believed. They didn't say a few, they said many, didn't they?
Right.
And many also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. So now we even got a bigger crowd, because he went right where strength was. He went in there, got those converted, then the Greeks, and then, of course, you know the women were following. Well, we got in 13. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came there also and stirred up the people. Mm-hmm. They start following. They said, they at it again. They at it again. So here they are following them again. Verse 14, and then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timothy abode there still. Mm-hmm. So Paul took off. But Silas and Timothy stayed to finish up the work that they had got started. All right. 15. And they that had conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and received a commandment unto Silas and Timothy for to come to him with all speed. And they departed. So when Paul went on to Athens, he said, hey, I need Silas and Timothy to come on, because we got a big work down here. 16. Now while Paul waited there at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to what?
Idols.
All right. So now he's at Athens. Where is Athens?
In Greece.
In Greece. And what was going on in Greece?
Idol worship. Everything.
Man worship.
Yes.
Yeah.
Man worship. They had statues. They were all about strength and love and do what pleases you. It was a big sin city. Yeah, there was a lot of stuff going over there. So when Paul got there, man, he got stirred up. He said, hey, we really got to start preaching Jesus here. Right? It was a tough city now. It was a tough city. All right, you know, the Greeks had the mythology thing going. They had Zeus, and they had all kind of gods. So we're gonna get into that. Seventeen. Therefore, disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews. Y'all like that word, disputed? Y'all see, it wasn't no reasoning in there on that one, right?
Yeah.
Huh? We got a whole different scenario going now. When he said idolatry, The next word that's attached to idolatry, which is not there, has to do with witchcraft. It has to do with mind dealing with thought patterns and how you sway people. All right? I want y'all to understand what was going on here. It said, he disputed in the synagogue with the Jews and with devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him. Not only did he have to contend with it in the synagogue, he had to contend with it in the streets. Mm-hmm. It was wide open all mm-hmm. over the place. They were worshiping everything, doing what they wanted to do. I think that's where they came out. If it feel good to you, go ahead on and do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was wide open there. It was Sin City. Mm-hmm. All right, 18. Here they come. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans mm-hmm. and of the Stoics encountered him. And some said, what will this babbler say? All right. He seemed to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. Mm-hmm. Now think about this. They already got their little God set up. Mm-hmm. Now here Paul is coming up telling them about a God that has given himself for them, died, and was resurrected for their benefit. All of the gods that they were talking to, they had no contact with them except for a statue, right? Or some sort of symbol. They didn't have any interaction with them. So now you're saying, wait a minute, you talking about a God that interacts with us? Mm. You know,
that's something new.
Did something for us, died for us? Mm-hmm. Really? Now they looking at rock and stone, and here Paul talking about a God that walked among them. Right? He's talking about a Christ who represented the Father. Now, you know he went through the whole thing, right? How God sent him and all. And they like, what? We ain't got nothing from this rock before.
Right.
No, you know, I'm serious. They here talking to them. You know, so that's why we got a dispute. Right? They dealing with him about it.
Talking about.
Mm. They said, wait a minute. This is a hard saying you talking about now. Right?
Right.
19. And they took him and brought him unto, somebody call his name out.
Areopagus.
A who?
Areopagus.
Areopagus. Saying, may we know this new doctrine whereof thou speakest. All right. They took him to me. And what does he say? I want to know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. Is that good or bad?
Good. Right. At least they're trying to reason.
At least they say, hey, that's kind of strange what you're talking about. Can you break it down? This is a new term. Can you break that down? Because we're not getting that. Right?
Right.
We're not following what you're saying. It's some strange stuff. We never heard that God can be physical and then do something for us and then bless us. And then we can be a part of the process. All they knew was to bring a sacrifice and hope for the best, right?
Right.
All right. Verse 20. For thou bringest these strange things to our ears, we would know therefore what these things mean. 21. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time, what? In nothing else, but either to tell or to hear some new thing. So is there a stirring going on?
Yeah.
And philosophers do that. They want, you know, you bring something new. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, what's this all about? You know.
Right. Now, what do philosophers do?
They analyze.
They want you to break it down to the least common denominator, mm-hmm. and show me what's the end result. Mm-hmm. I think this way. Can you show me how my way of thinking is wrong?
Right.
Because I rationalized this out, and so-and-so has said, and they got all of these folk that they got to support them. So-and-so has said, this person who speaks very good, he has said this. And so now, now Paul's got the opportunity to talk, right?
Right.
Verse 22, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill, and he said, you men of Athens, I perceive in all things that you are too superstitious.
What version are you reading now?
King James.
Okay. Because in my version it says you're very religious.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. You're very religious.
Just the opposite, same thing though.
Mm-hmm. Which one? What you got? I mean, what does it say? It doesn't say religious. What does it say?
Religious.
Yeah, New International.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. It says, "Hey, look, I see y'all real steady on doing something, but it may not be right. Y'all, you know, being religious means you're doing the same thing over and over again. Mm-hmm. You know, you've gotten engrossed in it." You can be religious about eating good in the morning and getting exercise. You can religiously do that.
Right.
You know, you can get into a routine and you religiously do that. That is something that you have formed to think is positive, and so you do it over and over again. He said, "You too, too religious. You done took it too far now." 23. "For as I passed by, I beheld your devotions," or how you come and offer incense and go to, and pray to your gods. You know, he said, I see your devotion. He said, "And I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." Now that's saying a lot, right? He said, y'all go every day and bring worship to an unknown God. Why? You don't know who he is, but you gonna make up. You don't even know who he is, but you gonna religiously go every day and burn incense and do all this stuff. He said, "Y'all too religious,
really?
With no meaning." But they were going and they were devoted to doing that.
Right.
Do y'all? I want y'all to think about it. Let's just put our thinking caps on. Innate in all of us is to worship. But God wants us to worship him. And if you don't understand what I'm saying, some people worship money. Some people worship fame. Some people worship power. They want it. They spend their whole life trying to get it. But God said, "I want all that attention that you're giving all these other things because I deserve it." Right?
Right.
Thing is, if you don't worship God, you're going to worship something.
That's exactly what I'm saying, because it's in you to worship.
Absolutely.
You got a candle there that want to be lit, but you need to have it lit with God's light.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Everybody's doing something out here. Nobody's just mulling around and they not thinking about anything. There's somebody, everybody has a light, but is it the light of Christ? So what we want to do is have the light of Christ to light the candle.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 I'll take some more discussion on it, because this is where we are. Everybody has an idol. Everybody has an altar. There's some people every day, they look at tabloids and everything, and they can tell you about what everybody's doing because they like that sort of thing. That's their thing. They can tell you who did what, who divorced who. They got all of this stuff down. And boy, if they could get in and get involved in it, they want to be a star too. You know, they want somebody to follow them. That's their God.
And then they were going here out of routine.
That's the religious part, out of routine.
Out and he of said, routine. "Don't make a habit out of me."
And God doesn't want us to do me. Stuff out of routine, this but routine, he wants us to do it out of the love of our heart.
You have right. to come All right? here.
Right. Don't go to church on Sunday because I got to do my moral duty. I feel like I got to go to church today because God's going to be mad if I don't go to church. Then you got to reason with yourself, why are you going to church?
Right.
And it should be the fellowship with the brethren, the fellowship with those that see and feel the same way that you do about God, so that your spirit can unite with their spirit and bring forth praise. Not only that, you may be able to help your brother in the midst of this fellowship. Amen. You may be able to give an encouraging word. Or they may have an encouraging word for you.
Right.
Or God can speak a word to you that has to do with your destiny or your purpose.
Right, right.
You know, you said, "I'm not going to Bible study because I said on Tuesday at noon I go to Bible study, but I want some revelation knowledge."
Right.
I want to hear something that's going to empower me to be more bolder, that will make me read more,
right?
That'll make me want more understanding of what God is saying to me.
Right.
And so that's why we take a chapter by chapter and verse by verse, so that you can tie these in, so that you can see. Now I'm going to ask a question. Now what all of you have picked up from so far that has stirred something in you? Have you heard something from any of the scriptures we talked about? Anything that we've read that has affected you and you said, boy, since I read that, I got another view.
I'll say something. I will say something, but this has always affected me, but you just have to ensure you are worshiping the Spirit of God.
Okay. That's good. He said you must know that you're worshiping the true and the living God, and not just doing it religiously.
And not just, God is not made by hand.
Okay.
And that's what those idols, most of those idols, like you were saying about the statues, the monuments,
and images, graven images.
Have all these different, they had one God who was a fertility God, one God of love. I think Zeus might have been the God of power.
Yep.
All different types of things.
Anybody else?
Go ahead,
Mom. She talk all the time.
Go ahead.
You know, when he said, Peter, be ready to give an answer to every man for the hope that's, a reason for the hope that's in you. So you don't know who might be searching for the truth, and people, because of what they're being taught, you know, Darwinism and all this stuff, it leads them into worship and pleasure, you know, that kind of thing, into idolatry. And so the truth is so important. And so when we get ready to expound the truth or give somebody the truth or just drop some seeds of truth, it will help that person to come to know somebody else to come along and water it.
Yeah, that's right.
And so we talk about changing the culture, changing the mindset.
Changing the mindset, yeah. Right.
So it's all there.
And don't be intimidated to share.
Right, that's right.
You want to say that?
Go ahead, young man.
You know, just because, like, he went back to the synagogue. That's you just with this whole thing of getting called out, being brought in front of authorities. He said, okay, so we're good. Cool. And he goes and does it again. Like,
right.
But he said, go back.
He said, I'm going back and do it again.
Ain't going to sit me down.
It's just the whole thing of knowing that you're what we're doing, and it comes with an opposition.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, kind of letting that scare you off.
Right. There will be opposition.
Right. Not a matter of what, but when.
But when. There will be opposition. Everybody's not going to like your testimony.
Nope.
The scripture said everybody's not going to like you anyway.
Even in your house.
That's right.
That's right. Elder said they're going to like you if you don't say so. Oh, yeah. Even in your own house.
I was talking to my niece last night, and it's like, I felt, why don't you just hush? Because I want to enjoy my food.
Right.
She has certain other beliefs, you know, that, you know, she sort of halfway believes this, but halfway don't. There's other mixtures, like a lot of young people may have.
Right.
Some mixtures that are somewhat new age.
Oh, right. Absolutely.
Right.
I have a nephew like that.
Right.
And whenever we get to discussing scripture, and I give him something he can't handle, he gets up and leaves.
Yep.
He said, all right, that's enough of all that. But as long as he feel like he got something he can debate with, you know, he'll stay there. We'll go tooth and nail with him. We have a discussion going. And I said, but have you ever thought about this? Oh, that's enough of that. You know, as soon as I get him pinned down to the truth, then, you know, then up he'll fly away. But that's good. What I got out of it, being studying it like I do, is the fact that we have a destiny and we have a purpose, and if we would just allow God to lead us to it, that is something's going to get done. Mm-hmm. Now think of all of the things that Paul had went through, from his life, from his growing up, all of the knowledge that he had, the fact that he had been against God one time, which we all have been against God one time. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We weren't all saved, sanctified, and full of the Holy Ghost all the time. We got some young people who had it been as far as we have.
Amen.
But I'm just saying, so now he's got a testimony, and that testimony has emboldened him to say, I know what it takes.
Right.
And I know what's involved in it. And I'm going to take what I got and give it. Irregardless of what happened. And so that's the spirit that we got to have. If we know that we know what we know, we got to go take it. And irregardless of what happened, we got to run for the prize. And we are going to get a prize.
What I got out of it is, if you dispute something, you better have it.
No. You gotta be studying. You
gotta study up, right?
That's right.
Then the scripture says, study to show yourself approved. You need to know what you know.
That's right.
There's an expression that.
Thank you so much.
That kind of area.
It's open. Oh.
Paul had a divine encounter.
Right.
Mm-hmm. When you have a divine encounter, nobody can convince you that what God has revealed to you is not true. It just can't convince you. And his testimony was with words and with his actions.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't just speak, but he demonstrated that when he spoke, he truly believed.
What I got out of it, what hit me, was routine. And God mm-hmm. just hit me with that word routine, because when we make a routine out of God, we're not really doing His will. We're just forging on with our own way out of habit. God has something different for us every day. He has new mercies, mm-hmm. new grace every day, mm-hmm. and it's not mm-hmm. what we do. So when you forge on with your own routine, you can't hear God, because He's got something for you that's different. He's got somebody different for you to meet, to come in contact with. Mm-hmm. So we're saying, well, I'm going to get up, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it. No. That's routine. We got to ask God, Lord, what is your will for me today?
Mm-hmm.
Not just today. Getting in a habit or routine, but what is your will? What would you have me to do today? And that's what He hit me with.
Mm-hmm. And what I'm getting out of it is, as I talk like to nieces and whatever, and they come up with their version, I just give them a thought-provoking question,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to going one-on-one.
Yeah.
You know, like recently with my niece and her, Yahweh, Yahshua,
mm-hmm.
and you know,
yeah.
The name of Jesus that we're not using properly. I just gave her something to think about. I said, "Well, what was the Great Commission?" You know, and she was like, "Huh?" I'm like, what Jesus said a Great Commission was, to go ye into all the world,
right,
and preach the gospel. Don't they have to change the language?
Okay.
So that the people can understand good what news. They're saying, yeah. the good right. news.
You have a good news.
Think about that. You know, you're saying we're changing and we're doing it wrong, but how is they going to reach Him unless they reach it in different people language? So I said, think about it. I just left it alone.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
That's like my nephew. He texted me Sunday, and he was asking me to do something. And I told him a year ago I would. But then I said I wouldn't. He said, well, why would you say that? And I said, because I realize I'm an enabler. You do what you do because I do what I do. You know, that's the truth. So he wrote me back. And I told him, I said, you know, I told him that you're asking me for this thing. I said, since you're so right and everybody's so wrong, how is your little God working for you? Since you don't believe in ours. I said, my God, G, capital G-O-D, supplies all my needs. And so I put it back on him. He didn't write back anymore because that's it. We're wrong, and all this stuff we into don't mean nothing. Why you asking me for something? You know, that's what I ask. Why you asking me? My God supplies my needs. How's yours working for you? That's the question I ask Him. In other words, it's not.
That's all right. A big one.
Mm-hmm. Young men, what you think? We got some young men who come from a whole nother culture here.
That's right. Gotta hear from them.
One of the things
Bobby tried to ease in on the young men.
When you said young men, that's when he appeared on the scene.
One of the things that I received from the study thus far in chapter 17 is a ditto of what Sister Patterson studied a few minutes ago about the language. And ironically, I was watching In Touch. It's a Saturday night or a Sunday night, and Dr. Stanley and several missionaries, they're in the southern tip of Brazil. And in the southern tip of Brazil, it was mentioned that they have 124 different tribes that speak different languages.
Mm-hmm.
Theoretically, I know Portuguese is a language of choice in Brazil,
mm-hmm.
but they all don't speak Portuguese. Mm-hmm. So what they have transferred is the fact that they got all of their messages for the various tribes, 124 tribes, that these people can listen to the word of God, and you can see the smiles on their faces as the word is coming in on these little wasn't cell phones they was listening to, but they can listen to the word of God that was dictated by the in-church ministry that was coming into
the Brazil. Different translations they could hear
them, but the translation was awesome. And not just In Touch, and that's one of my favorites on In Touch.
Mm-hmm.
There are other ministers as well that translate the Word of God into the culture that you were speaking of a few minutes ago as to what we have. And when Paul and Silas and all of these groups, when you mentioned quite vividly, when they go into a different area, you say, here they go. Well, yeah, here they go. They're naturally. The devil is busy. He's doing what he's supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
He's creating heaven. And lo and behold, you have these guys coming in, teaching and preaching the word of God in their language that they can understand.
That's right.
And it just happens to pee in a pot, waiting to be put on the spoon for somebody to eat.
That's right.
Okay, now you can talk to those folks.
So what you think?
I was just thinking about some of the things that were happening to Paul, mm-hmm. Silas, and Timothy. When you're looking at it now, you think that... you think that God was allowing so the bad things to happen to them, but everything was happening for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
They are driven out of the land of Thessalonica because they were being persecuted. The Jews wanted to kill them. Right.
Right.
But they are driven out, so they are forced to go away.
Go someplace else. Right.
But God allows these things to happen so that His word can move forward, so that the other people, so that the people, if that bad thing didn't happen in Thessalonica, the people of Berea wouldn't
the
word of God. So God allows some things to happen in our lives so that we could preach out to other people.
Right.
So make sure that whatever you're doing in your life, you are being the light. God says you should be light to spread the light.
Mm-hmm.
Are you the light of the world? Are you the salt?
Right.
To this tasteless life. So whatever you do, make sure.
Tasteless life.
Yes. Make sure that you are indeed spreading the word.
Right.
God allows through His providence, God allows some things to happen in our lives. So don't show. Don't even worry. God is always in control. That's what I want to
say. I like that.
Amen.
You got anything? He said no.
Just listening.
All right. Now that was good. Now, we already had talked about that previously, mm-hmm. how Paul had wanted to do some things, and he had his heart to want to go over and do that, and the Spirit of God said, no, you can't go over there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And he said, how about if I go over there? The Spirit of God said, no, you can't go over there. But then he did, through a vision, gave him where to go.
Right.
And so when he went there, that it started to be a blessing, which took him all the way around here. So sometimes we can have in our mind, we want to go somewhere, and because there's a roadblock there, we're saying, Lord, why is there a roadblock? I really want to go over there, because He got someplace else for you to go. And it may not be time for you to go over there.
Amen.
So we have to understand that sometimes a no is not a denial. Right?
Right.
A delay is not a denial.
Right.
Right? But we have to understand that God is orchestrating this thing, so we can't get caught up with, I can't do what I want to do. Well, sometimes you can't do what you want to do. How about let's look at it like we need to do what God would have us to do.
Amen.
All right. Well, we're going to leave it there because our time is gone. And we'll pick up there because Paul is getting ready to work something out here with this unknown God and get it in that. So we'll get a chance to pick that up on the next time. If all hearts and minds are clear, I want to pray, and then we're going to go ahead on and bless the food even before we get there, so we don't have to hold up. Everybody can order hors d'oeuvres, and not hors d'oeuvres, you can order your appetizers. All right, and then we can go ahead on and eat. Father, we just thank you for your word. Lord, we know that your manservant is going to be well. We know that you are a healer. And we know right now that healing is the children's bread. And we are all children of yours, Lord. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you have done it in the past. You will do it now. And we are expecting a miracle because you are yet a miracle working God. Now, Lord, we ask you to encamp your angels around and about us to take us to our next destination. We thank you for this opportunity to have a fellowship together after this service. And we're going to give you alone all the praise, honor, and glory. We ask that you will sanctify the food that we're about to receive for nourishment of our body. We do it with your word and with prayer. We call it done. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen.
Amen. Amen.